Another share was, I will be able to prevent myself from getting into the crisis limit again. Next quote was, you saved my life. Also, what was shared was, you gave me the skills to save myself in the future. And the last one I'll share here is, the program has been a key element in starting my recovery.
Welcome to QualityCast North, a podcast dedicated to showcasing healthcare quality improvement across northern British Columbia. Casting today from the traditional territories of the Kleklaytane and Tsintsiyan First Nations are your hosts.
I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
You're listening to QualityCast North. This week, we're returning to the subject of mental health. Patients commonly present to the emergency department with acute mental health care crises, often resulting in hospital admission. But what if we could prevent hospital admissions with timely community-based support for these patients? And at the other end of the patient's journey, could we even reduce hospital length of stay for recovering mental health patients with similar enhanced community-based care? This was the big idea behind Island Health's innovative and successful Bridging Care program. And here to talk about this award-winning quality improvement work are today's guests, Alana Summers, Jennifer Sandberg, and Jane Dolan. Thank you for joining us today on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Now, I wanted to start us off. Please, can you tell us a little bit about yourselves, your roles, and the community where you work?
Sure. I'll start off. My name is Alana Summers. I'm a registered psychiatric nurse by background, and I'm the manager of the Bridging Care Program in Island Health. Just wanting to recognize as well that our program is located in Victoria, which is where we're attending from today. And that is the traditional territory of the Lekwungen people of the Songhees and Esquimalt Nations.
And my name is Jen Sandberg. I use she, her pronouns. And my role in the Bridging Care Program is team lead. And my background is in occupational therapy.
And last but not least, I'm Jane Dolan. I use she, her pronouns. My role within Bridging Care is a mental health and substance use clinician. My background is in recreation therapy.
Excellent. Well, thank you. And thanks again for coming on the show to talk about your work. So let's move on talk about that now. So what is South Island Health MHSU Bridging Program? And can you explain the problem or the gap in care it sought to address when it was originally set up?
Sure. I'll start off with offering a little bit of information around the gap that we were looking at, and then Jen's going to provide a little bit of information about what the program actually looks like day to day. So the Bridging Care Program offers a very time-limited and impactful alternative to hospitalization for people who are facing acute psychiatric illness in the South Island region here. So the aim is to fill the gap of an acute inpatient admission and other community-based services by offering a recovery-oriented and intensive time-limited day program model. Previously, people with an acute psychiatric challenge would either be admitted and remain in the hospital until there was a safe discharge and transition plan to community, or remain at home waiting for admission to a community-based service. And often for those people who were waiting at home, there would be multiple presentations to crisis services or emergency psychiatric services. So the Bridging Care Program is also able to offer a supportive program to address the gap in appropriate services for clients who might not actually be best served by an inpatient hospitalization. So it provides a really high acuity and time-based model without accessing those inpatient beds. So really bridging the gap between sort of inpatient mental health care and the lower level community-based mental health programs.
Mm-hmm. Alana stole some of my lines.
I'm so sorry.
But the program is a short-term intensive outpatient program, and we're supporting people with acute mental health crises. What that means is often people who are experiencing an increase in suicidal ideation. Perhaps they've come to hospital after a suicide attempt. Commonly, we're seeing people experiencing depressed mood, anxiety, self-harm behaviors. So we aim to support these individuals by offering a group-based program Monday through Friday for 1 to 4 weeks, where we introduce wellness tools and practices to support stabilization of their mental health symptoms. We're skills-based and focused, so really a huge emphasis is on building a person's capacity to cope more effectively.
Mm-hmm. And how did the program come about, actually? Can you tell us a little about its origin story?
So I'll give you a little bit of background. Jen and I were working on a program which was called Subacute. It was a fairly new program offered within Island Health. Jen and I at that time were kind of reallocated into supporting more inpatient services. And within that scope, they were already kind of resource rich. So we had some time, and then within that opportunity, we approached our coordinator and asked if we could take part in an intensive DBT training program. That really kind of sparked some great ideas, and it was an incredible opportunity for us professionally to develop those skills, and kind of highlighted the need and posed a question of, could there be an opportunity for us to integrate DBT into our practice and build a program that supports clients in navigating crisis. OTs and recreation therapists, our scope of service is skill-based, action-based. We're the doers. And so how do we incorporate building that capacity and the skills into a program that's meeting people in those crisis moments? We approached our leadership with this dream and this idea of, you know, what if we had this program that inspired people in building capacity, and leadership ran with it. They were inspired and they recognized there was a gap of service. They also recognized there was an opportunity to use this group and focus on the skill-based approach, and that it was valuable in providing care for an acute care population in our community.
And part of that support looked like building the team. So within our team, we have 5 full-time multidisciplinary clinicians. So we have an OT, we have a rec therapist, we have a nurse, we have clinicians with a background in counseling and social work. And all of those clinicians share the same role. So facilitating groups, working one-on-one with clients to coach in developing the skills. In addition to those clinicians, we have a wonderful admin assistant who keeps us glued together and on track. We have peer support workers from the community who bring their own lived experience to support clients in the day-to-day engagement in the program. And we also have 2 phenomenal psychiatrists who not only provide consults for our clients, but also facilitate the groups. So we're in that group setting, reinforcing the skills focus.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing origin story, and complete kudos to you for identifying that gap in care and formulating a potential solution to that. And also to your managers and your leaders as well for letting you run with it. I mean, for them to allow you to do that, I think that shows foresight and confidence in their team actually to explore this and deliver this. So kudos to all you folks in Island Health for that.
So, you know, you've mentioned some of the services already about what your program offers. And there seems like, I love that theme about where it's like building capacity to cope. One of them, you're talking about your group sessions. So I don't know if you wanted to share more about build on that services, but we're also really interested in how they're referred to you.
I can share a little bit about what a typical day would look like for our clients that are engaged in our program. So daily attendance in groups. Groups are kind of the bread and butter of our program. So every day participating in learning skills, practicing wellness activities. A huge part of our program is our movement-based. So we're introducing clients into moving their bodies every day. Through Qigong, yoga and stretching, daily walks, and building the awareness of the importance of movement for our bodies and for our minds, and ultimately building that awareness of mental health. We focus on CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, and dialectical behavioral therapy, so DBT skill development, and within that, those groups introducing clients to tangible skills every day. In addition to the groups, we have psychiatry consultation, medication recommendations, diagnostic impressions, follow-up needs. Our two amazing psychiatrists facilitate daily groups every day, which is pretty amazing. If you're a patient of your psychiatrist and you actually get to sit in and have them teach and facilitate a class. In addition to our groups as clinicians, we meet one-on-one with our clients. And so that role is a motivation role, a coaching role. We're taking what's introduced in our skills portion of the groups and starting to support the clients in building that capacity, but applying the skills to their individual circumstances. So we're doing a lot of role playing. We're doing a lot of one-on-one. We're doing a lot of what does this skill actually look like? Let's break it down and practice it. And that's a huge part of, a daily reminder within Bridging Care is we practice the skills. So we become familiar with the skills. We're not putting the skills underneath our pillow and hoping that, it's just going to magically start. There's a huge practical component to this.
And in terms of how they get swooped into our program and asked to do these hard things, our clients are referred from other Island Health programs in the hospital or in the community. Most of our referrals do come from the psychiatric emergency services, so our emergency department. We also receive referrals from inpatient mental health units to support their transition back into the community. And we also get referrals, fewer, but do get referrals from the community for individuals who may or may not have mental health supports already, but are accessing and requesting supports. So we're providing a step up from the community, so additional supports to keep a person in the community and avoid the need for hospital, or supporting people with that step down from hospital where they've had 24/7 support and helping to transition them more successfully and safely back home. I will add too, we are able to respond quickly to our referrals, and we've maintained no wait list and continue to connect people within days to our program. Don't tell too many people though, or else that might change.
What have been some of the biggest challenges that you've encountered while setting this up? And how have you overcome those challenges?
I'll speak to that and also note that Jen sort of alluded to it about the idea of, don't tell too many people, we might not be able to maintain the lack of a wait list. And that is one of the things that we are continuing to try to balance. And it is a challenge that we're working with throughout the time that the program has been open, is making sure that we can remain available for that sort of immediate connection for clients and patients who need that acute service in the community. And balancing that with the knowledge that the program could benefit really almost anybody. The skills that are being provided, the group setting like this, anybody could make gains from the program. So the challenge is maintaining that acute referral pathway and maintaining our target population of the acute population to reduce those hospitalizations, to allow people to stay in the community, to have good successes, while, again, balancing at times there might be open beds and trying to review the best way to sort of look at our service utilization while maintaining true to to the program objectives. So it is something that we continue to work with. The main way that we've been able to overcome it is continuing to really reinforce the relationships through those referral pathways. So with psychiatric emergency services, Jen, our team lead here, is there almost every day connecting with the psychiatric emergency services team to see who would be appropriate for the program, who might be able to benefit, and making it really direct that way. And just making sure that the people who would be good candidates and could get something out of our program are coming from those acute pathways.
Were you able to evaluate the outcomes of the program? And have you been successful in meeting your original goals of reducing hospital admission?
We're looking at the reduction in inpatient admissions and diversion from hospital stays. So we're able to look at the frequency of hospital admission for clients pre and post participation in the Bridging Care Program. And then we also look at transition to lower level of care community services. So we're tracking the referral source as well as the client's trajectory at the end of the program. So what they're being connected to at the time of completing the Bridging Care Program, what level of service. And we're looking at the ongoing timely access to the program. So we're able to track the time from the referral to the time of the first contact and first attendance within the program. And then finally, we're looking at increasing the client's sense of health and wellness. So we do use some standardized scales that the clients complete at the beginning and at the end of the program. And then we also have a client survey to have a little bit more of a qualitative understanding of the client's experience.
Yeah, it's been truly amazing to see that the results have been so positive. So clients who are referred to our program do have reduced readmission rates, and that continues on into post a year after participating in our program. Symptoms of depression and anxiety improve, and participants feel like they're making improvements in their mental health recovery, and that's shown through our questionnaires that we deliver. Most of our referrals do come from acute settings, so from the emergency department and from inpatient units. Clients are reporting that they now have tools to cope more effectively with their emotions. They have strategies to avoid making things worse, and they have plans to connect to community-based services. So other groups, reconnecting to work and relationships. It could be ongoing mental health supports in the community as well. But it's quite surprising, really, to see how people do transition successfully to sometimes no further mental health supports, and with increased knowledge of how to access supports in the future if they do notice that their mental health is changing.
One of my favorite days is our grad day. And so when a client is nearing the end of the program, we have a graduation day. And so during one of our group settings, we acknowledge this client with a certificate and a card, and also an invitation if they want to reflect on their experience. Sometimes clients don't want to reflect, but oftentimes they do. And more often than not, clients share from a really vulnerable place. And what that looks like and what we're hearing is, it was really hard to show up. I had moments where I thought this was stupid. I hated it. And I came anyways. And what's great about these shares is, oftentimes on these grad days, we have new clients that are brand new to the program who are feeling anxiety, they've got fear, they really don't know what they've agreed upon. And there's a level of trust, and then there's a level of acceptance and hope that here's a person that was just like me 4 weeks ago, and they have hope and capacity and are inspired to return back to their life or start building a life that's filled with new connections and new skills to support them in managing some really, truly challenging life events. If I can share a couple of the quotes, because I always feel that stuff's important. One client shared, "I feel so different." Another share was, "I will be able to prevent myself from getting into the crisis limit again." Next quote was, "You saved my life." Also, what was shared was, you gave me the skills to save myself in the future. And the last one I'll share here is, the program has been a key element in starting my recovery.
You must be incredibly proud because you built this bridging program from the ground up. You had the original vision, and you're now seeing it in full action and reaping the rewards of both its original remit of reducing hospital admissions, but also providing that essential patient-centered care to the community and to the patients that you were actually targeting. So that's amazing. And I would just love to hear a little bit about your own personal thoughts and motivations around that, a bit building the program. And you know, in what way have you personally found this work rewarding?
Those quotes still make me tear up every time I hear them. But I've worked most of my career in the community, and I was excited to work with clients with more acute presentations. But I didn't want to lose the focus on hope and recovery and that real life. So it's been rewarding to provide an option to keep people in the community even when they are struggling, so that a person can continue to benefit from their supports and start to utilize the skills we teach in the program to manage the challenges that are inevitable in their day-to-day life. So in the team lead role, I find value in promoting therapeutic use of self in my team. So bringing parts of ourselves into the work that we do with our clients, and to continue to show up, which is hard a lot of the time. But fortunately, within the program, we've managed to create a cohesive team that works so well together, that has each other's back, and individuals that can really use themselves in the work that they're doing with our vulnerable clients.
Here are some of my motivations. First and foremost, I think Jen and I reflect sometimes, we come back to thinking, like, how did just two, like a little OT and a little RT, manage to get so far? And I think it's inspiring that Island Health saw that we had a vision and believed in our capacity as clinicians and therapists and our knowledge-based and our skill-based, and supported us. And so having that support really, you know, built that dream of, and the motivation for being part of providing a service that provides a safe and inclusive space to foster recovery. First and foremost, we meet people where they're at. And sometimes, oftentimes, our clients show up with the gloves still on. They've had some past experiences with healthcare that haven't been positive, and we hold that space. And we ultimately show them that there can be a different way. A big part, and Jen spoke to that, is being part of a cohesive team. And this team is inspiring to me, not only professionally, but personally. You know, being a part of a team that challenges you to try new things, to give you feedback in a supportive way is awesome.
You guys are wonderful. The team's fantastic. That really is one of the most amazing things about this work and about this program. It definitely would not be something that has the success that it does without the team. I've worked in various levels of mental health care as a nurse, and I don't even know how many times I had to say to somebody, you know, like, the program will call you, I'm not sure when, or, you know, you'll have to wait, or, you know, I'm so sorry, you need to stay in hospital. Like, you're just, you're not quite safe. The team hasn't been able to find the right care for you. Your hospital stay is going to be a little bit longer, or having somebody leave the emergency department, anticipating that they don't really have the right service in place for them to have good success, and knowing that and feeling that is hard. So I think that, like, I'm just so grateful that we have something to offer to patients and clients who might otherwise end up in an inpatient unit or have an extended stay in an inpatient unit, or be sent home and just waiting for the right care to be connected. So I think specifically about psychiatric emergency services. And now we have the opportunity that instead of admitting the patient or sending them to a wait list, we're able to offer a really incredible program and let clients know when they're leaving that they would be able to start the program the next day or within the next couple of days. So the timeliness of being for a client to be in a mental health crisis and then being connected to an intensive skills-based program almost immediately is a pretty amazing thing to be able to offer people from an emergency setting, and just to know that they're going to be sort of handed off into really great hands with the bridging care team, and they're going to have the support in place that they need.
That's wonderful. And you can just see the pride and enthusiasm coming through as you're speaking over the to us today. This is a wonderful place to round off today's interview. This is truly amazing work and very deserving of your Health Quality BC Quality Award. So congratulations to you and to all your team. And I know for a fact that you wanted to bring your whole team onto the podcast for the recording. And we were hard and we capped it at three. But the whole team is deserving of those congratulations as well. So thank you. And as with all our guests, we'll be sending each of you, just the three of you, of course, one of our exclusive Quality Cast North coffee mugs as a token of thanks for coming on the show. You've been listening to Alana Summers, Jennifer Sandberg, and Jane Dolan from Island Health's Mental Health and Substance Use Bridging Care Program. If you, the listener, would like to find out more about today's guests and their program, you can find details in our episode show notes. But for now, it's goodbye from our guests, Alana, Jennifer, and Jane, and your hosts. I'm Cher Chewy.
And I'm Lee Cameron.
If you enjoyed today's episode, check out our other episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts, and subscribe to our channel. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question for us about healthcare quality improvement, email us at qualitycomms@northernhealth.ca, and your question could feature on a future episode. QualityCast North is sponsored by the Physician Quality Improvement Initiative, or PQI. PQI is a flagship program of the Specialist Services Committee, a collaboration between the Provincial Ministry of Health and the Doctors of BC, with representation for the provincial health authorities. This episode was co-produced by Dr. Cher Chewy and Lee Cameron, with technical support from Levi Giles and Matt Walker of Expression North. Original music by Daniel Chewy. Further information about today's guest is available in our show notes on our website at nhpqi.ca.